We are continuing a study in the Gospel of John, and today we're going to learn a Bible verse outside of John. So we're going to learn a Bible verse in Titus, and then we're going to look at a story, true story, from John. That's our goal. So we are going to learn a verse, and then we're going to continue, and we're going to look at one story in John. But this verse is very important. This verse is important so that we can understand the story in John. And this is one of my favorite verses. So here's what I should do for everyone here.
Where did the thing go?
Here it is.
I'm going to turn this off, and you can look at me.
Or you can look at the board, okay? So don't look at that. This is a verse from the book of Titus. Why is the book called Titus? Well, it's because that's the person's name. You can name your boy Titus if you want. And Titus was a friend of Paul. And these are the three words that begin this verse. And so we are going to learn more, but right now we're going to say the reference, which is Titus. Three is the chapter, and then five is the verse. So you can find it in your Bible. So let's just say that line right there, okay? Titus 3:5. You got it? Okay, try it again. Titus 3:5. All right, what chapter is this in?
Titus 3:5.
No. It is in, what chapter is it? It was a trick. What chapter? Chapter 3. All right, what verse? 5. All right, so you got it. All right, what about the first three words? That doesn't look too difficult, does it? All right, so we'll say the reference, Titus 3:5, and then we'll say the first three words. All right, let's try that. Titus 3:5. He saved us. Isn't that great? Just the first three words are wonderful. Are you saved? Let's ask a question. Who is he? Is it you? Who is he? All right, think about that. Let's say it one more time. Whole thing so far. Titus 3:5. He saved us. All right. Let me change the question. Who saved who? Who is the who? Who is the he?
He's Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Jesus or God. Yeah, God saved us. Jesus saved us. And so, I'm just going to put this in parenthesis. God or Jesus saved us. Very good. Thank you very much. Great answer. I'll give you a treat later. So, if this is true, and where is this? This is in the Bible, right? All right, so the Bible's, so you know it's true. It's from the Bible. Let's say it one more time. Titus 3:5. He saved us. And so if it's true, let me ask you a question about you. Who is saving who? Are you trying to save yourself? Or have you let God save you? This is a big difference, isn't it? This is God, and it's saying God saved. In that us is you, right? You, us. It's we. Now, we can't leave these three words. We can't go on. Unless you would be honest with yourself. When I was a kid, I tried to save myself. I went to church. And of course, then I went out drinking. But I still went to church. I tried to make up for it. Go to church, go out drinking, do whatever I want, served in church. I was trying to save me. Would you give up and let God save you? He saved us. Now, story's going to get sad. I'm going to add some. You want to... This is really not much of a challenge so far, is it?
But that's okay. I'm going to give you the test.
If you pass the test, you get an award. All right. Now, let's try again. Titus 3:5. He saved us. All right. Very good. Your award is good job. That was your reward. Good job. Okay. He saved us. Now, there is more in this verse, right? But we're starting here so we understand. There is one more thing we should... We've got this word so far. He is God, right? Us is me. We didn't talk about saved, did we? One time I asked a boy, "Are you saved?" And he said, "Yes. My mother was driving the car. She turned the corner. My door fell open and I almost fell out. But I was saved." Does that kid know what's happening? This is a true story. And so that child, when I said saved, he thought saved from a car accident. Saved is rescued, right? It is saved. And if you were in a car accident and you lived, you were saved from physical death, weren't you? But what kind of death is the Lord Jesus offering to save you from? If you say, "I'm saved," what kind of death are you saved from? What kind of death? Physical death? No, you don't chance. You know, you want to look like you're dying. Some of you look better than others, but every one of us is dying from the day we were born, and there's just a small chance God will save you from physical death. So his goal is to save you from what kind of death? Yes, I see that head nod. What kind of death will God save us from, Father Luke?
Eternal death.
Eternal death, right? Eternal death. And so, when we say, "He saved us," we are saying, "I am rescued from eternal death. You know when that car turned the corner and that child goes, "Oh, he's falling out of the car." I don't know, did his mother reach out and grab him and pull him back in? Why didn't he have his seatbelt on? I have no idea. But when he got out of the car, he said, "Oh, I'm saved." Did he say, "Maybe I'm saved"? I'm not sure. Am I saved? Am I dead? Is this what dead looks like? Am I still alive? Did the kid know he was saved? Yes, he didn't fall out of the car. And he knew he was rescued from physical death. There wasn't a question mark in his mind. He knew he was saved from physical death. Now God wants the same thing for me. In fact, he says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." You know, the child is relieved. Phew, saved from death. God is just as serious about this. Can you say, "God saved me? Phew. I'm not going to fall back into eternal death. It's not going to happen again. When God saved me, he didn't put me over here in life and say, 'Now just don't walk back over there.' He put me here and he rescued me because when he gave me life, he gave me what kind of life when he rescues you from sin? Eternal. If he saved you from eternal death, he delivered you to eternal life. So you are saved from eternal death. But that's the word that governs this verse. It's eternal. What he's saving you from, what he's rescuing you from, he's pulling you out of hell. He's pulling you out of eternal punishment. And he's putting you in eternal life. And so, we're not only saved from, we're saved to. Eternal life. Isn't that great? I mean, when you think about this, this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Do you know a man who was righteous, and because he didn't stay righteous, he lost his life? Well, maybe ask the question bad, but think about Adam. Adam came in the world, and Adam had no sin. But God let Adam make a choice. Adam, do you want to stay in life? Or do you want to enter into sin? Adam had no sin. He made a choice. And his choice was, I choose sin over life. And the Bible tells me then that just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world and death through sin. That is a sad story. He is the only man in history who could make a choice to step out of life and step into death. Every one of Adam's children, me and you, are born dead now. Adam was born alive with the choice of going into death. We are born dead. And when I say dead, I mean you are separated from God. Because when you're born, you look alive, right? It's because you're joined to your body. The real you is, I'm right here, inside the body. These are my windows, right? This is my loudspeaker. This is my microphones. Inside is the real me. If I die, They put my body in the dirt, right? The house gets put away. But the real me is gone. And I am either in eternal heaven or I am in eternal punishment in hell. And there's only two possibilities after I die. There's nothing in the middle. And so because I'm born dead, God has made it different from the first man. I'm born dead. Jesus now gives me a choice. Do I want to live? But once I'm alive, I don't get a choice again. Because who saved me? He. And the He is God. So you understand, Adam had temporary life. But what kind of life is Jesus offering me? Eternal life, right? Adam had trial life. He was on trial. Have you ever been on probation? I was on probation because I got a speeding ticket. If I got one more ticket, I would lose my driver's license. And they even made me go to school. I had to behave well or I would lose my driving privileges. That's probation. You're on probation. Adam was on probation. But the life that God gives is 100% paid for. There's no probation. It is a free gift. And so, now we understand. He is God. Us is me. Saved is rescued from eternal death. You know, there's more. You're rescued from sin. You're rescued from a lot. But I just put this down here. It seemed important. He saved us. All right. Let's do it. Let's say the verse. Titus 3:5. He saved us. And now I will add a word or two. Did you all get coffee? Yes, you did get caught. He saved us when you put not in there, that changes everything. I did not make that up. That is from Titus 3:5. You can read Titus 3:5. Now what does this verse say when we add this one? This is scary. Okay, this is scary. Let's read it together, including the next word. Titus 3:5. He saved us not. Oh my goodness, that is so sad. It's saying he didn't save you. And I said he did save you. Which is it? He saved us not. Did he save you? Did he not save you? It depends. It depends. I guess we're going to have to learn the whole verse, right? Because he saved us not. And so I'll keep writing here. He saved us not on the basis of deeds. Now, there's still more, but this gives me a little hope here, right? He saved us not on the basis of deeds. So you can be saved, right? But it's not this way. Do you understand that? He said he saved us, but if he saved you, it's not this way. Let's read it, then we'll explain it, okay? So just go ahead and read the whole verse together. Titus 3:5, he saved us not on the basis of deeds. Now, what is the word in my verse here that I added that means what you do? The stuff you do, the things you do. You're saying, well, that's just so easy. I'm not going to say anything, but it's this word here, right? What you do is your deeds. So you see the D in there. It's somehow connected with what you do. If this is true, and this is the Bible, what is God saying about being rescued from eternal death? It's not what you do. Isn't that amazing? It's not what you do. What if you're trusting what you do? You say, I'm a pretty good boy. Here's what I would say when I was a kid. I only went out drinking once this week. I went to church twice. Why are you laughing at me? My mother didn't laugh at me. So I'm pretty good, right? Two churches to one drink. What do you think? Is that good? Is heaven ahead for Craig? Well, this is not in the equation. This is not, has nothing to do. Because in this group, we've got your good people over here, and you have your bad people over here, or maybe you're the, which side was which? You've got people who are good and people who are bad, but how are you born? You're born dead. What can a dead person do to save himself? Nothing. And that's why dead people's deeds, what they do here, they just don't count. And I always say, it's good to be good. It's good to have deeds, right? It keeps you out of jail. It's good to be good. It puts you on the honor society and the honor roll. It's good to be good. You might get a performance bonus at work and get more money. But does being good qualify you? Get you ready or prepared for God's eternal holy heaven? No, it doesn't. And that's what Paul is teaching here. God really, really, really wants to save you. If you are saved from eternal death, you can say with confidence, He saved me. And He saved me not on the basis, that means that's your foundation, not because of. Okay, He saved us not because of. Not because of deeds. Is that your salvation? Because if it's not my deed, someone had to do something to get me saved, right? Someone had to do something. If it's not my deeds, it's not what I do that saves me. Who does something? Who is it? Debbie told us a little bit ago here, he says, Jesus. I am so bad, even though I'm a really good guy, I don't drink anymore, so I'm good, right? What about my heart? But Jesus saved me because I was dead, and He did it by what He did. And what Jesus did was pay for bad Craig. He paid for the bad things I did. I was going to give you a list, but I think I've convinced you that I'm bad, right? So in John chapter 8, we had a story of a woman who was really bad. That was the last time we were together. We had the woman who was caught in adultery, which was breaking the seventh commandment of Moses. We might think of it this way. When God created man, He created the rules for marriage at the same time. God created marriage at the same time. And the punishment for breaking those rules a long time ago was death. We don't do that in the United States anymore. If you break a marriage rule, we don't kill you. Lucky you. But God is still serious. And so in John 9, you had a woman who broke the marriage rules, and her deeds were bad. And it was pretty obvious. When I think of sin, I think of bad stuff. I think of adultery. I think of murder. Do you remember, if you were here, if you were not here, I'm sorry. But if you were here, there was another group of people. So there was this group of men. And these men brought this woman to Jesus, and they dunked her at the feet of Jesus, and they said, "This woman is caught in adultery," and they said, "in the very act." And then they said, "The law of Moses," remember, what's the punishment for adultery in the law of Moses? It's death, it's physical death. So that's what they said. "The law of Moses commands us that we stone such women. What do you say?" And they asked that to the Lord Jesus. We have two groups of sinners in that story. Obviously, the woman was caught. It was a sin. She did deserve to die, but the Lord Jesus forgave her. But what about the men? What was in their heart? You know, in one sense, they were doing a good thing. They were saying, "God, your rules say a sinner must die. And we're bringing you this sinner." But what was in their heart? The Lord Jesus taught about my heart, and it's very scary. He says, out of the heart proceeds fornications and adulteries. That's breaking God's marriage laws. But out of the heart also comes murders. So in John chapter 8, we had the woman who had bad deeds, and we have the men who were pretending to be good by saying, "This is what the Bible says, you have to do this." But what was in the hearts of those men? Oops. Tried to make my writing better. Murder was in the hearts of those men, wasn't it? Did they care about that woman? They absolutely did not care about that woman in the least bit. They cared. They were trying to trap the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, there are two kinds of sinners here, but they're all the same. There are people who do the bad deeds, and they know they do the bad deeds. And that may be you. You say, I'm just like Craig. I've been terrible, and I know I've been terrible, and I need a payment for those sins. You may say, well, I've been really good, and God ought to let me into heaven. And yet, if you look at your heart, just look at your heart. I can't. How's your heart? How is your heart? Okay, let's continue in memorizing our verse. All right, so we know, you guys know it. Can you even read this? Where's my eraser? There it is. Not on the basis of deeds. All right, let's try it one more time. Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds. No. Fasten your seatbelt. Is your seatbelt fastened? Remember the kid, the mom's driving the car, and the door swings open. I hope the kid had his seatbelt on, you know, or what? He wouldn't have been able to say, "I was saved." He'd be dead. Couldn't say that. So I hope you have your seatbelt on. Because listen to what the verse continues to say. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. All right. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done. Does anyone remember what kind of deeds which we have done in what? Yeah, Right, righteousness. So you see the word right in there. So right, I always, if I do not understand a word, and I'm born with English, if I don't understand a word, I look for words on the inside I understand. And when I look at righteousness, I see it as very helpful. Deeds not done, things that are right. Things that are right. I mean, you do all kinds of right things. You take care of your children. You go to work. You're a good employee. You do right things, right? We call the right things you do righteous. And how are we going to make the word even harder? Put NESS on it, and then no one will get it, right? And that's what we'll do. So, he saved us not on the basis of deeds that we've done in righteousness. I get he doesn't save me because of bad deeds, right? But this is saying he doesn't save me because of what kind of deeds? Good deeds. Wow. You know, when you were born dead. What did you do to get dead when you were born? Nothing. You did not do anything to be unrighteous. You did not do anything to become a sinner. You were born separated from God. You can't do anything to be joined to God. You were not lost by your bad deeds. And you are not saved by the good deeds that you do. God's salvation is not about you. You got that? God's salvation is not about you. It's not how you live. It's not who you are. God's salvation is all about God's Son and what Jesus did and who Jesus is. And to have God's salvation so you can say, whew, I'm saved, and know it, you have to let God do what you cannot do. Would you do that? You're letting Jesus do what only one man in the world could do. There is only one man after Adam who came into the world without sin. And the difference between Adam and Jesus is the God-man. He was not only did he not sin, Jesus was unable to sin. Plus, Jesus chose not to sin. There was no sin in his words. There was no sin in the things that he did, in his deeds. Nothing about him. He was perfect. So different from me. And so different from you. So he's the one man qualified then to pay for the deeds of bad people. And he's the person you have to let save you. If you need money, it's getting close to payday, and you're broke, who are you going to come to? Well, not me. I'm broke too. Trudeau. He has lots of money. He bought a house, a car, a wife. It's a lot of money. Well, here's the point. Both of us are broke, right? Okay, because you have a wife, you're broken. Everything changed. You don't go to a person who's broke if you need money. You go to someone who has the wherewithal, who has the stuff to pay your debt. And this is the same thing with salvation. You don't go to any other person who is the one person who came into this world with no sin, then he took that sinless self and he went to the cross And he paid on the cross the payment for sin, and then he said, it is finished. And God said, maybe you don't believe it. Let's raise him from the dead. And Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, so God wanted to show you that it was paid. Jesus is alive today. And that living Lord Jesus is proof that Jesus made the payment. Why? Because as long as you are in sin, this is important, I don't want to say it so fast no one hears it. If you are in sin, and your debt is not paid, sin holds you in debt. If you are free from sin, you are free from death. First from eternal death, and one day Jesus will release you too from physical death. You're 100% freed from death. So, are you saved, and who saved you? Are you saved, and by whose works? Because it's not because of my good works. I didn't get lost because I was bad. I was born lost. And I don't get saved because I'm good. Only Jesus is good. So, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. Did we learn that already? No, we didn't even say it. All right, let's say it together. Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. All right. I've got the not here, so how did he save me? And the verse will now say how he did save me. But it's just so important to know first how you're not saved. Because if you think you're saved the wrong way, you'll be really confused. So he saved us not. But according to his mercy. Well, there you go. But, so, you get the idea there's a not saved this way, but you are saved this way. So here's what we have to listen to here, but, according to his mercy. Oops. There's more, but I'm going to put an exclamation mark there right away. All right, now let's read the whole verse. Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what I deserve. What do I deserve? I deserve hell. What do you deserve? Hell. What is, by the way, what we say that, what we say hell, it's just easy to say, but when we say hell, what are we saying? Hell is a place where the payment for sin is made. Alright? In the lake of fire. So when I say I deserve hell, it means I deserve to pay for my own sins. I deserve to make that payment, and the payment is eternal. Alright? The payment is eternal. So mercy, and if you can remember this, and if you're taking notes, it's always good to know the basic definition for mercy. It will open a lot of the Bible up to you. It's not getting what I deserve. And so God saves me by giving me mercy, by not giving me what I deserve. Who got what I deserve? Jesus got what I deserve. So someone had to get what I deserve because God is holy. And sin must be punished.
Sin always has to be paid. It doesn't matter if it was a year ago, an hour ago. It doesn't matter if it was a lifetime ago. Sin always must be paid. And the punishment for sin is eternal. And so there are just two possibilities. The Lord Jesus went to the cross and he made a payment. Now, he made a payment. I don't know if you know it, but it was just 6 hours. But because Jesus Christ is not just a man, who else is he? It's God who became a man. He's not a man who became God, by the way. He's God who became a man. So when he dies on the cross, he's never sinned, so he can make a payment. But how big can that payment be? Well, he's offering up not just his body, and his body's carrying my sins, but he's offering the value of his eternal self. So when he says, it is finished, he doesn't mean one sin. He doesn't mean just my sins. He means he is the satisfaction for not only our sins, but for the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. Jesus paid for every sin that will ever be done in all of creation. And God made him pay that eternal punishment, that eternal payment. And so it's eternal. And Jesus died eternal death. And that is what has to be paid. Who paid your eternal death? Now let's think about this specifically. He said, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in, fill in the blank. I didn't hear you. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in what?
Righteousness,
okay?
So when you think of all your sins on the cross, think about the time you did something good and you were just very proud about that. I am so good. There is your pride. It is nailed to the cross. There are your right deeds. You know those men who brought that woman to Jesus and they said, the Bible says, and they were right. That was their good deeds, wasn't it? They're saying, God, sin is eternal. Sin has to be punished. They were absolutely right. But the problem was their heart, and their heart had murder.
And, you know, I'll put a blank box here. A blank box. Add your sin, all right? Add the thing that, add whatever troubles your heart here, and where was it paid? It was paid 2,000 years ago or so, right there. How much was paid? Eternal. How do you know it was paid? Jesus said, it's finished. Is it finished for you? Is your account finished? Do you know you have eternal life? I'm hoping I have red. I do have red. Now remember, sin has to be paid. What if you never received the Lord Jesus? What if you never take the gift? Remember, sin has to be paid. How is sin paid if you do not have Jesus to pay your sin? Well, I pay my own sin then. I pay my own sin then. And we already mentioned hell. It's also the lake of fire.
And it's eternal. You can't change your mind after you die, okay? It's eternal. So do you understand what we're talking about is eternal? These are forever decisions. We're talking about forever death. We're talking about a forever work that's done. It's something that once it's done, it can't be undone because it's forever. Eternal is forever. Who will pay the punishment for your sin? Everything in John is he tells us in chapter 1. And in chapter 1 he says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And so he says the answer is, on this cross, Jesus paid for a gift, and the gift is life. It's 100% paid for, and God is offering this gift to you. Now, if you're working for it, you're not getting it. If you're receiving it as a gift, you're receiving this gift is also called Jesus. So there are two kinds of people in this room. Well, there's two kinds of people in the world. One kind of person says, God, you're right. You're right about my sin. I can't save myself. My good deeds don't save me. I take the gift. Thank you, Jesus, for paying for the gift. And then there's another kind of person in this world. And they say no to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they don't receive the gift. Maybe they're really, really bad. Maybe they're really nice, good people. And they say, no, I can't believe I'm that bad. I can't believe I'm that bad that Jesus would have to pay for my sin. If you were the only person in the world, would Jesus have to pay for you? See, that's what this man believes. This man says, no, I can't be that bad. Or, I have no use for Jesus. This is God's salvation. And this is what, in John 8, we did the woman at the well. We saw two kinds of sinners. We saw the sinner who is religious and righteous and tries to do the Bible things. And then we see the other kind of sinner who's just out there breaking the law. But both kinds of sinners are disqualified. And the only way they can be saved is if someone pays their debt. And I'm going to close in prayer right now, but I'd like to take the ball and put it in your court. This is, take it. This is for you. What are you going to do with it? On behalf of God, I offer you his son, and he's alive. Will you today receive this man, this gift? And God says, he who has the Son has the life.